Fox Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Hour number two is now underway. 251-343-0106 is how you get in touch with the program. Hit us up on that text line. Still come on the program about a half hour from now. Joey Clark, our Wednesday regular, will make time for us. That's in the 10 o'clock hour, the 11 o'clock hour. Andrew Sorrell, our state auditor, who won his primary by a pretty convincing margin on just over a week ago. So we'll get his thoughts, and we need to play do a little bit of punditry for us as well regarding the outcomes on Tuesday night. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Let's see here. I'm going to get through these texts. Killer Bees writes, people aren't deranged for speaking up and saying that they're suffering because of Trump and the Israel's war with Iran. But you don't need to say Israel's war. People aren't making that connection like you guys think they are. They're just, gas prices are high. Well, why are gas, who cares? Gas prices are high. I mean, some of you are. Obviously, you're texting into the show. I think, as a general rule, I think the real problem is just gas prices. You could stop at gas prices. I mean, I don't think they're deranged. For saying Israel. I'm telling you. You got to find it's a delicate balance. Republican voters are very pro-Israel. They are. And you don't, I mean, it's, the polling shows this. There's a handful of you who will scream AIPAC whenever you get the opportunity to. But in general, and the Trump administration reflects this. So do you think it's the moderates out there who are anti-Israel or are willing to take that leap with you? Whatever it is. How about this? If you had the Iran war and you had it on behalf of Israel, as you suggest, but gas prices didn't go up, would you still have a backlash in the ballot box? Take all the variables, leave the same, but except for gas prices. It's the gas prices. It's the price of energy. It's the inflation. It's not, as you guys believe, that there's this abject rejection of U.S. foreign policy regarding Israel. It's gas prices. The unintended consequence here. Now, you can't separate the two. I get it. But if you everything's the same except you're at $2 and some change a gallon, Republicans probably do better. They probably have higher turnout in a lot of places. Mommy issues. Why? You got some outright moron racist calling in. The truth of it all, had whites been fair, not sicking dogs on minorities, daring to vote or line up at the polling stations, beating them, no laws would have been needed for minorities to vote. Whites had to be told not to discriminate. Laws had to be implemented, and yet here you are defending unethical laws. These are laws passed by Democrat majorities. That's the texter's point. We are paying for the sins of the Democratic Party of 50, 60 years ago. And some of those guys are still there. But that's what we're paying for. It's a punitive act for something that happened when I wasn't even alive. And we're still having to live through that? Is that right? Is that moral? I didn't pass those laws. You didn't pass those laws. Dare I say anybody listening to this show and texting in didn't pass those laws. That Alabama couldn't be trusted. And that's what happened. So, mommy issues. No, we are paying for the sins of the white man. Why? Because I am white and the people who did this decades ago, generations ago, were white too. Why am I still accountable for that, mommy issues? Why is anybody still accountable for people who are deceased? Is that how that works? Mike, did you know Trump's son just married Epstein's Palm Beach banker's daughter? Makes a person wonder why the Epstein list in Israel are being protected so strongly. I said this is derangement syndrome. Unnamed texter, the thought that Democrats would be in control of the House, Senate, and White House makes me break out in a cold sweat. Well, they were. They had their chance. Democrats are good at elections. They're very bad at governing. They're good at, this is just a statement of fact, because look at how 2020 went. And then what happened? And when I say they're good at elections, they do what they got to do to win, sometimes very unfairly. G from LA, when are the naysayers like yourself going to quit relying on faulty polls to discuss how people feel? Polls had Paxton up 3 points on May 5th, and he won by 28 points. Quit using faulty polls to shape public opinion to convince your listeners that Trump and Republicans are losing. When did I say Trump was losing? And that's a head-to-head with Republican v. Republican. It's not a head-to-head Republican versus Democrat. Those two separate things. G from LA. It's not faulty polls. It is reliable voter turnout. Like, there's no more reliable polling than turnout. And in Alabama, Democrats had a significant bump. They didn't have an outright majority, but they closed the gap significantly. And they closed it in different places around the state where, if you look at the district, the numbers don't lie. So, polling is one thing, but actual elections are another. Would you like me to go through the numbers? Since I am trying to warp public opinion here, as you say. Let's start with Mobile County. It's right here at home. 2022. Democrat turnout. 12,953. 2026, 33,753. 160% increase. On the other side of the ballot, Mobile County, Republican voter turnout, 40,775. 2026, Republican voter turnout with everything on the ballot, 30,881, a 24% decrease, and a nearly 3,000 vote advantage for Democrats. Jefferson County, Democrat turnout, 2022, 47,927. 2026, 89,386, 80% tick up. Republican turnout, 59,649 Republican in 2022. 2026, 39,380, 34% decrease. and a 50,000 vote advantage over Republican turnout. Because of 2022, Republicans had a 12,000 vote advantage. Madison County. 2022, Democrat turnout 11,934. 2026, 35,124 Democrat voters. 194% increase. Republican turnout, 2022, 51,220. 2026, 31,199. 20,000 voters, fewer Republican voters showed up to vote. 39% decrease. 4,000 vote advantage in Madison County. And I could go through more of these. That's a problem. And you could say you can whine about the polls all you want. G from LA. But if you look at voter turnout, Democrats are nuclear right now. They are showing up to vote. This isn't some survey conducted over the phone. These are actual votes. Sorry you don't like it. And sorry you call me a naysayer. But Democrats have an enthusiasm advantage right now. It's not about Ken Paxton and John Cornyn. It's something Republicans better take seriously, like yourself. Fire Dog, I'm generally concerned about Democrats when they fail to impeach Trump for the eighth time. When there are no mass arrests of a Republican, I think the crazies are going to get real violent. No, but your parents and most are still alive. Yes, unfortunately, that's how it works. No, it doesn't work that way. My parents didn't pass laws. And even if they had passed laws to disenfranchise black voters, I'm not going to be held accountable for that. It's not American. We're not held accountable for the sins of our parents and grandparents. That's immoral. The courts will find that to be the case. Be dark. So tell mommy issues. That's why I got a yard full of dogs. I don't think that's appropriate. Jason. Do we hold mommy issues accountable for the crimes of all blacks? What a lunatic. Ultra Runner. In Michigan, you have a Democrat U.S. Senate candidate that struggles with the existence of Israel. In Texas, you have one in the process of coming to terms with whiteness. And in Maine, you have a guy with a Nazi tattoo. Are you sure Democrats are winning the midterms? Unfortunately, I've heard this every time Susan Collins has a challenger. She's going to give me. I just think Susan Collins will probably win Maine again. It's not that she's particularly ideological or partisan. She's just Susan Collins. We always vote for Susan Collins. She always wins. Texas, the same thing. How many times are they going to run Beto O'Rourke?
It's midnight.
It's just over and over and over again. But Michigan, you know, that's a Democrat seat. Might be different. How many times is Mike Rogers, the Michigan Mike Rogers, going to run? We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Joey Clark coming up in the next segment, so hang tight. Stay tuned for that. Still working through these texts. My name Texter, you're on point, Jeff. Well, thank you. And, G from LA back. Much respect. That is the news that needs to be stressed as reported so that Republicans like myself will get out their duffs and get out to vote. That's great reporting. It is a glaring, glaring weakness heading into November where there's just more enthusiasm on the Democrat side, and it's not media or poll manufactured. Maybe it is manufactured by the media, but what the end result is, there are just more people fired up to go vote for a for the Democrat candidate. And they didn't really have that great of a ballot. You had very competitive races on the Republican ballot. You had very few competitive races on that 22 ballot. I mean, obviously, you had U.S. Senate with Katie Britt and Mo Brooks and Mike Durant. But you had Attorney General, you had Lieutenant Governor, you had Senate. And it just, for whatever reason, and we should have seen this coming, and we talked about it a lot, with so many people claiming to be likely Republican voters, but in turn, they were undecided. They were undecided to the extent that they were undecided, they just didn't vote, apparently. So what they do with a lot of these surveys, I mean, they have a lot of this data. They know who is voting. They know who is expected to vote. They know who to ask how you're going to vote. There's a whole science here. And people who said they were undecided, well, they stayed undecided. They never committed to a candidate. Unnamed texter, the increase in Democratic votes are caused by the influx of all Northerners migrating to our state. I agree with that to a degree. But I would tell you what you want to look at really closely is you look at the new registered voters, and this is another stat. I think in Madison County, let's use that for example, 27,000 new voters, an 8% increase. But the Democrat turnout was up by 24,000 votes. Now, some of that is probably because of the influx of new people, but there's still, without a doubt, Democrat voters who didn't show up at 22 showed up at 26 that were in Madison County. And I think that's going to cost Republicans a state Senate seat if that holds. I think the one you got to watch, I said, watch out for Shamari Figures. If we stick with the 6-1 map, Wiregrass, Rep. Marcus will do really well down there if he's the nominee. It's just a place it's hard to get voters out. It's always been that way. There's just more people in Montgomery, and that's a district with Montgomery in it. And they're going to have to spend big in Montgomery. Now, you'll have a state Senate race, a competitive one with Tabitha Eisner and Will Barfoot, which could also go Democrats' way. There's a lot of problems here, even in state. Republicans will still do well. We won't have Democrats win statewide, but they're chipping away here. They are absolutely chipping away here. You take another, like you just look at the turnout models is all you need to look at. And the growth of these counties. And you can attribute some of that to the growth if you like. But in every county across the board, Republican turnout was down. Lee County is an exception. That's Auburn, Opelika for Republicans. Turnout overall was up, except in Mobile and Tuscaloosa counties, from these counties that April Murray Fogle pulled. This is an important piece. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Mona tried to tell me to stay away from the train line. She said that all the railroad men just drink up your blood like wine.
Country, country, wasn't
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show, FM Talk 106.5. Still to come on the program, Andrew Sorrell. That's in about an hour, so make sure you stay tuned for that. Joining us now on the line, he is our Wednesday regular. He hosts the News and Views on News Talk 93.1 in Montgomery. Also a columnist, you can read him at 1819news.com. Joey Clark is with us. Joey, how are you?
Doing great. How are you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for coming on. We'll start here. I guess the question I have, I haven't talked about your column, and this dust up between Jared Hudson and Barry Moore, and you know, sort of wearing your Christianity on your sleeve. I think it's kind of a taboo thing, but it's not necessarily something that we haven't seen before.
Oh, yeah, no, and I don't mind somebody wearing it on their sleeve as long as it's substantive and it doesn't come across as like, and the other, you know, I sell bananas, but not like the other shops that poison their bananas sort of thing. And it, but I think it's just the nature of our politics. It's, everybody's claiming to be more Christian. Just look at that race in Texas with Talarico, which I would be happy to criticize his faith. I have multiple times in public. So I think there's a certain line of like, if you have a clear accusation you want to make, you think this guy's wrong at XYZ, he is acting like a hypocrite for XYZ reasons, go ahead and make that. I think that's fine. What I guess I was getting at is how the implications of I'm just more Christian than you, and it's sort of like, and the all these other folks are fakes and phonies on the TV. It's like, yeah, I get your point, but in a head-to-head runoff, it's probably better to be clear. And it could be the Hudson camp didn't mean that, and honestly, I take Jared at his word. And it could be the Moore camp was genuinely like, well, dadgummit, I don't like that. That's not very nice. And thus, welcome to politics in America and you know, the 21st century.
Yeah, there's all kinds of insinuation in any window in politics, but Hudson did what he did, and he said, you know, as much. Like, look, if I was referring to Barry Moore, I would have referred to Barry Moore specifically. Okay. However, yes. The subsequent reaction from the Barry Moore people, that's not the way to handle this, I feel like.
Yeah, the head-to-head nature of it, I think, brought it up. I don't know. I think it was a bit of a ugly spat where nobody clearly gained anything out of it. And I guess the whole point I decided to write about is like, if we're going to talk and bring up our Christian faith in public, especially in a political race, let's do it without it being innuendo and tearing each other down in this sort of suspicious way. I don't know. I felt like I had to defend the whole point of, you know, this game is about comparison and who's better. And there's going to be, I think, a pretty legit race heading into this runoff election. But, yeah, it's unfortunate that it just creates such bad blood, what should be a thing that brings us together and that we hold in common as a people.
Yeah, but we don't, historically in Alabama, we did it a lot more 20 years ago. Hmm. It doesn't seem, we're just, society is becoming more and more secular. The freedom from religion crowd, they made inroads here. And I don't like it being used as a cudgel necessarily, but it is kind of missing these discussions about faith from our politics in 2026.
Yeah, I want serious, substantive discussions about how do you apply Christian principles to the public sector and the public world for the common good. It's very important. What I don't like is when it becomes, like you said, a cudgel, or kind of just, it's like the, if I see it on a mailer, like, who, that's not a substantive conversation. Like, I don't know, that's where I get frustrated, when it gets reduced down to a bumper sticker instead of actually talking about how this will be played out in our public policy.
Well, but the discussions are very shallow. It's just maybe that's just the nature of, like, you know, we live in an era where, like I said, we're more secular. Maybe people's understanding, yay Christianity, yay faith, but how deep does the public have for that type of discussion?
Well, and I think it's somewhat we underestimate the public. Your point earlier about it becoming more secular, I think people just be more distracted than ever before. But I almost think there's this return. There's this healthy backlash after this secular move. If folks don't know him, like the Bishop Fulton Sheen, who's about to be, I think, sainted by the Catholic Church, he was like one of the biggest TV stars in like the 40s and 50s. And when you go listen to his sermons, especially the ones he did around the time of World War II, these are deep, profound meditations on the Gospels and on our faith. And he was reaching out across to all Christians, and not just Catholics, and to the Jewish community at that time. And you're like, that was America. And I think there is something about that is it's on the rise again. Maybe not in this cycle, maybe not in a quick runoff race for a Senate seat, but I think there is a rise, and we can have robust, interesting conversations, and they're based in our faith.
Well, let me ask you this. Let's say you're the moderator of a forum about faith and Christianity in a political space. Where do you start?
Well, I would first start with biography, but I mean, in Alabama, you ask a good question. In Alabama, it's interesting because a lot of those are settled. The first thing nationally that comes to my mind is the issue of abortion. And I think that is a good question to ask, for instance, Kim Paxton asked James Tallarico. And that's where the rubber meets the road. And I would also suggest, if you want to come more from the left, I'll be equal opportunity here. Like, how generous are we going to be with our social programs? J.D. Vance, for instance, could very much say this anti-fraud thing we're working on is about making sure those on the margins are actually being helped out and not being taken advantage of. So if I was going to start, though, a conversation, I would start with where people come from, like how did you come by your faith, and then, you know, move to policies discussions.
You give like a testimony and you talk about it, right? I mean, that's like, you know, Bible study, church, you know, small group 101, but we don't do that. Like I said, and maybe we used to, it seems like, you know, like if you recall, like, it wasn't Rick Warren did like a thing, and that used to be kind of part of it. But like, yeah, the media, and he, you know, Rick Warren and whatever you want to call that, but at least it checked the box. Nowadays, it doesn't, it's not even on the agenda.
Well, I mean, light of, you know, because what's going on with me, I've been asking everybody who's running about it, not in a gotcha way, like, you're going to become Roman Catholic. No, it's more like, give me your testimony, your witness. Jared Hudson's very good at it. Jared Hudson is giving fantastic answers. And I've talked to Barry about it a little bit, but known Barry a while. That's why the thing I heard this week, I'm like, well, whoever wins, I think they're both good Christian men. By its standard, but it is interesting. I've been asking more candidates, and some have really good answers, really thoughtful answers. And then some, it's more they're a little caught off guard because they're not used to it, to your point. But I think it's a healthy thing. For last time, for instance, I had Gary Palmer on. I think it was National Prayer Day, but we talked about faith for like an hour and a half on the air. So,
yeah, I guess it's a glaring oversight in the political discussion. Now, we're talking like tax rates and gas prices and foreign policy. And I guess the follow-up question is, how much do we think that moves the needle? Maybe that's why that these consultants, and they just don't put an emphasis on it anymore. Just as long as you check the box and you acknowledge it, then all you've done your good deed for the day.
I think it depends on the person. If they really have a great testimony or a great story to tell, I think it moves the needle in a positive direction. It's always polarizing. For instance, I remember 2022 where Senator Britt was telling the story about after the tornado and her daughter seeing Jesus. And when she told that story in the studio, I found it touching. When my dad saw it in an ad, he's like, what is this nonsense? So like, there, it can be polarizing in that regard. But if you have a good story, I think it's worthwhile. And I think, I don't know, I partly see it's my job, and I hope more people do it, of just being open about it. It doesn't mean you're like, okay, give me your like theory of atonement on the cross right now, and you better be the correct. No, you need to just feel like we are open, and this should animate our lives. So let's talk about how it animates our lives at the appropriate time.
Oh, we're just so cynical, right? And we're so beaten down that when you do that, it comes off as opportunistic or phony or inauthentic.
Right, and that's the problem of our times, ain't it? And the only thing that comes across as authentic is Donald Trump saying, well, Erica Kirk says, love your enemies. I can't do it. I hate them. And folks are like, well, he's honest about it. It's not very Christian, but he's honest about it. And that's the era we're in, where maybe on the other side of Trump, we'll hit into a different direction. But right now, it's, what's the line? Post-persuasion America. I think Steve Bannon came up with that, and that's where we're still at.
Well, it's just, I still think Alabama is different in that sense, right? That Alabama is, it still matters, but maybe it's just not tried. Or maybe it's just, you know, because we haven't brought it up in a setting like this, or we haven't done it in a while, it's off people's radar. So, like, maybe it's just that it just needs to be kind of forced into the conversation to get the ball rolling.
Yeah, and I think it takes responsible voices because I'll say something that just came to my mind. And I don't know how much this accounts for the issue, but given a lot of the schisms in a lot of the churches in Alabama, it's almost like everybody's already gone to their corner, and it's their private corner. They talk about their study groups, their friends, their services, but we don't do it in public because everybody's kind of still like hurt, smarting from all these schisms that have happened. And there's got to be a way to bridge that divide. I don't know. It's a shame because a lot of the schisms have moved apart because of the political stuff. And, you know, I think one side's right and the other side's wrong on all sorts of issues. But yeah, that's probably part of it. Everybody's just gone to their separate corner on Sunday. And it's tough to come back together when it's not explicitly a church thing.
Well, I tell you something else. And I mean, I don't know what it's like in your church setting, but there is a real effort to avoid these discussions, you know, about public policy, at least. I get it. Partisan politics about the person, but all of it is sort of untoward, sort of unseemly. It seems inappropriate. But I think that at one time that wasn't the case. And I think in these settings, part of it is the church doesn't really – they want to grow their congregations, and right. They don't want to take the risk of, like, upsetting part of their congregation and losing it. It's this numbers game that's kind of in the backdrop and bringing up, you know, especially politics right now. With Donald Trump and sort of the, you know, the perceived ickiness there, I think that really interferes with the discussions we're having.
Yeah, and I'll just say, speak from my church and my experience, and you know, the priest rarely, if ever, bring up politics in their homilies because the homilies usually have to do with the daily scriptural readings. But what I often have noticed is, like, when Iran broke out, in the petitions to God, petitions for prayer. We pray for peace. When the whole Sonny Burton thing came up, that was thrown in there. And there's constant prayers for our senators and for the governor. And so I think that's a pretty good way of, like, bringing folks back together. Like, no matter where you side on a given issue, we're still looking out for one another and lifting each other up.
Yeah. It's just like I said, people, they got busy lives and... like, you know, the weird, you know, moral lifestyle and coarse language and everything that's going on in politics because of Donald Trump, they just kind of steer clear of it. They steer clear of it. Now, like, you know, Tucker Carlson's dabbled in this a little bit, right?
Right.
And I've had some others, you know, they'll do it kind of off the grid, and they'll talk about, you know, Easter weekend, what he put on Truth Social, Donald Trump, that is. But for the most part, like, that's just is that indicative of where we are? Because I think it kind of is.
No, I think you've hit the nail on the head. That's to me, ironically, that actually gives me hope that because things have gotten so crass and so cynical and ironic and all these things, it gives a lot of breathing space for people who are going to long for something real. And when you see the AI revolution, how fake everything is, I think people are going to long for in-person settings where it is a genuine testimony they can hear. And I think that will maybe show up in a political campaign. But I think long run, we're going to see more of that.
Yeah, that's the hope. I just, It doesn't come up on my show enough. I mean, and it's not really on the front of my mind, but as I kind of reading and thinking about that, you know, apparently it still matters or we wouldn't have this dust up between the two candidates. But the sort of discussions that came out of that, it was more about, you know, the ad hominem side of it and not about the theological side of it.
Yeah, that's why I tried to weave in some of the theology, which, you know, right there at the end of the Gospel of John, after, you know, Peter denies Christ three times, Christ asks him, do you love me, three times. And right after that, as he tells Peter that, you know, essentially, here's how you're going to die. Peter looks and turns to the apostle that Jesus loved, the disciple Jesus loved, John, the guy writing the gospel. And what about him? And it's like, well, what if I want to keep him alive till I come back? What is that to you? So I think there is a good lesson there about comparison, especially on matters of faith and salvation, and your personal relationship with God can always be very dangerous. It's great to compare on all sorts of policy issues, or if somebody's being an outright hypocrite and not upholding their faith, cool. But that's sort of like that gray area. It gets nasty.
And we got to get out of here. But we're putting the policy in front of the faith argument, where the faith is actually, that's the foundation for your policy, and it's kind of a side discussion. That ought to be probably, at least in our circles, the Republican Alabama voter circles, that's the bedrock.
It should be. Well, I think in this case, both Barry and Jared are pretty solid, and that's thus the hurt feelings.
Joey, folks want to find you online. How can they do so?
At the Joey Clark on X or Joey Clark Live on YouTube.
Joey, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
Appreciate it, Jeff.
All right, let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Cowboys, and they still are on scene, sadly in search of one step in back of themselves and their slow-moving dreams.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday morning. 251-343-0106 is the text line. Still to come, Andrew Sorrell. That's at the bottom of the next hour, so make sure that you stick around for that. Mommy issues, I said Republicans are as racist as even your caller with his toothless flea bag dogs is exactly why voting rights should be implemented. You're just casting aspersions here. You don't know what's in people's hearts and minds. You, if we're to take your standard here, mommy issues, that you're making an assessment of somebody without any kind of due process, and therefore there must be this punitive action taken, the same could be said about you. That Democrats should have to pay a price because they're discriminating against toothless Republicans. Unnamed texter, watch those numbers come November. Love to see your Trump endorsement come through so they can get smashed in November. I think turnout will be higher in November. The turnout's going to be high for Democrats. It always is. We can't. Wish cast your way into making this country better. If you believe that conservative policies and Republicans are the best way forward, if you really believe that, and I do, then you got to acknowledge a problem here. You can't just, wait till Trump comes in. We can't whistle past the graveyard. B-Dart, my dogs are not racist. They just don't like people. Jeff, if this country was living with biblical views instead of political views, we would be in a better place. Text line 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. You know it ain't so hard to say.